Hello, everyone, and welcome to Real Estate Right Now. My name is Jay Izzo, and we are live from the Lumencraft Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. We are talking about real estate matters that matter to you. And you know what? We brought him back. Yes, I know, a popular request. He's the four-time champion of being on Real Estate Right Now. His name is Paul Fitz with Advantage Lending. He's a senior mortgage loan officer with them, and great to have you back.
Great to be here, brother. Thanks, always man. Good to see right. you.
So,
looking svelte, Cody James jeans.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Thank you, Boot Barn. By the way, Boot Barn, if you're looking for to be a sponsor, we're happy to have you on the show.
I'm wearing Cody James
too. There it is.
Thanks, Joelle, my wife. That's right.
Yeah. So, oh my gosh, that has nothing to do with what we're doing today, but hopefully you got a laugh out of it. A Merry Christmas, because this is part of a Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody. Happy Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. Thank you. Happy Hanukkah. Thank you. Yeah.
I remembered.
Yeah, you did. So let's talk about, because you sent in something out a couple weeks ago by email.
Yeah.
That was really kind of interesting. Loan limits have kind of changed here. So let's talk about what they are, what they were, what they are, and maybe possible reasons why they've changed.
Well, every single year, Freddie Mac, Fannie Mae, or, you know, FAFH, they do an analysis on how the market's going, what's going on in the market world, what's going on. And over the last 2 years, yes, our market has been on fire, and not just our market, it's been markets around the country. They've been on fire. So every year, as a part of what they do, they take a look at what the medium income is, what the balance are, what are we selling houses for. They do the numbers and they say, hey, bam, this is going to be the new number on what you can do for conforming loan limit. And that number now is $726,200.
What does that mean?
That means that if you want to do a conforming loan, a conventional loan, like if you want to put down 5% on a property, and you can, you know, buy an $770,000 house, whatever the number we were looking at the time, you would have to put down 5% or 10% or whatever. You're still going to have a loan amount of $726,200 as a max. Then you can go into the non-conforming or jumbo loans. Could be different interest rates. It just depends on everybody's it depends on what they're doing, what their credit scores are, what their income is, what their DTIs are. It's always going to be a different thing for a different person.
What were they previously? What was the loan limits?
The loan limits as of last week, last month, $647,200, I think, was the same.
Okay, so we went up basically, what, 80,000?
80 grand.
80 grand?
Yeah.
What does that mean for the consumer when we get that $80,000? What does that ultimately mean to them?
It honestly allows them more purchasing power, more buying power is what it allows them to do. But again, if a person can't afford to buy a $700,000 house, they're not going to qualify for a $700,000 loan anyway.
Right.
But you've got plenty of people who do qualify. It gives them the ability to say, hey, you know, I've been holding off on the market for a while. I've really been looking at houses in the 800s or high sevens. Well, this way they don't have to shop around for a jumbo loan. They can shop around. They can get just a normal conforming loan. Now, some of the beauties about having a conforming loan at this price versus, you know, the jumbo loans. Jumbo loans, you gotta submit every single document in the world, pay stubs, bank statements, W-2, get an appraisal. You know, if this property, in the eyes of Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, if this property actually feel like that's the value, right, you don't even have to get an appraisal for it.
Okay.
It could be one of those where they're putting down 10%, they got great credit, we might have 1 year of tax returns, and bam, you know, no appraisal. They can get the house, a lot less paperwork.
Okay, you threw out a term. We don't talk about it. We've never talked about it on this show. As a matter of fact, I don't think ever. And that is, what is a jumbo loan? I think for people, because I think people would go, he just said jumbo loan. I don't know what a jumbo loan is.
Well, now it's $726,201 and beyond at that point. But jumbo is just another term that we use. We call it non-conforming. So jumbo is another term that we use for loans that have higher balance than just the normal conventional, what we call conforming loan limits at that point.
And it requires more.
Usually, yeah, that one, they don't ever give any streamlined docs for that like they do Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae, you know, conforming loans. Sometimes you get streamlined, you know, documentation for that.
Now, what precipitated, do you think, economically, this event of raising this ceiling on that?
I believe it was because of all the housing markets were, you know, over the last couple of years, again, they were on fire.
Right.
I will tell you, the fire is being put out everywhere as we speak now. You know, you've known me for 20 years.
Sure, yeah.
You know, I'm a political animal, you know, and in this environment, you know, I don't want to talk about all the things that precipitated where we are in the economy right now, but our economy is not what it was last year. Our economy is not what it was 2 years ago. So, you know, next year at the same time, we might actually be talking about they're lowering that loan limit.
Oh, really? Okay.
Because it doesn't just necessarily raise every year. It has lowered in my career. If you go back to the 2012, 2013 timeframe, you know, 2007, 2008, 2009, depending on what was going on in the economy, once again, we might have had conforming loan limits at 515,000. Well, then they would have dropped to like 470.
Okay.
And I've got charts and data.
I saw them before the show.
That's right.
So that fluctuation, is that to, in when we see it go up, is that to try to encourage more buyers in the market?
Yes, and it's also trying to tell people that the housing stability is a little bit better than they assumed.
Mm.
Part of it is also, you know, we've entered into an era, so to speak, where people are now being trepidatious about buying, whereas 6-8 months ago, again, like I said, the housing market was on fire,
right?
So now, because interest rates have gone up, there's economic recession, you know, fears and things of that nature. So because these things have happened, still Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae will tell you, by increasing those loan limits, they're saying, we still see stability in the housing market. We're okay with having higher loan amounts on these properties. And the truth is, if people who have bought in the last 2 years, if they take a look around them, look at your neighbor, or look at what somebody else has paid for their house in those neighborhoods, you've got equity in your house.
Right.
Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae is encouraging you, hey, if we do go into an economic recession, you know, maybe you should look at using some of that equity to pay off your debt and things of that nature.
So. Okay, we're going to get into that, because I'm going to have you talk about that a little bit later.
Sure.
So let's then talk about where we're at in terms of interest rates and the economy. We've had a housing slowdown. Tell us where we're at from a mortgage lending standpoint in terms of all of those factors and how they're playing itself out right now.
Well, what a year, right?
Yeah, it's been crazy.
It's been a spectrum.
Yeah, it really has.
It's been a spectrum this year. But again, if you look at the housing market, it's still one of the safest sectors that we have.
Right.
But economic slowdown, people are like, taking a little bit, taking a foot off the gas, so to speak. Remember, earlier this year, if a house was on the market, let's say it was a $400,000 house, a house is probably selling for $460,000, $470,000, right?
Mm.
Well, now, since we've had a little bit, you know, interest rates have gone up, people are a little more trepidatious. Now, if a $400,000 house is on the market, guess what it's selling for? $400,000, not $460,000, $470,000, $480,000. There's not the bid wars anymore. That's great for a lot of buyers right now, because they're not losing, quote unquote, losing. They're not paying so much money up front. The problem that the buyers are having now at this point is swallowing the interest rate pill. It's one of these days we're going to have a podcast. We're going to talk about rates, the history of. Anyway.
Yeah, we are.
But because the rates have gone up, now people are literally, instead of paying $60,000 more for the house, they're paying $600 more a month. And that scares them more than the $60,000 up front. Why? I cannot for the life of me figure out why.
Well, don't you think, though, some of this, I think so much of this is emotional.
Yeah.
Right.
The house is emotional purchase.
It's so emotional. And, you know, we have lived in the land of 3%.
2.375%. Yeah, we've lived in that land.
We've lived in that land, right? And
the promised land.
Right. That's good. Very good there. And then now interest rates have risen.
Yeah.
And don't you think that part of that is the fear? Because they're not bad rates.
Historically speaking, no, they're not bad. When I got into the business in 99, I was doing loans at 8.5%. I was refinancing people at 8.5% because they had purchased in the 80s and 90s at 16, 15, 14, 12. Right. And I get into the business and I'm thinking, I'm just going to help people buy homes. Oh no. I literally in 99, I'm still in the middle of a refi boom at 8.5%.
Yeah. Right.
So
it's all relative, right? It's so relative.
Context.
It really is, right? Because if you're accustomed to paying 16%,
right,
then all of a sudden, and it goes down to 8.5%, you're like going, oh my gosh, I've got a deal, right?
People were losing their mind. That was free money to them at that time. Right? They're like, no more 16%. I'm getting 8.
I know, right?
And
right.
They were excited about
and,
that.
And here we are now. What was the interest rate right now?
Today, 6.5-ish, depending on the programs, the products.
All right, so we're 6.5%.
Yeah.
Right? Right. And in the 80s, we were running 16%. What would the top?
So yeah.
It could spike to 18.
Correct.
But we were, because when Linda was telling me, when she got in the business, she had time to 18% interest.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So here we are at 6.5.
6.5.
Yeah. Right. All right. And 8.5, everybody was excited.
Right.
Now, and at 6.5, because we got used to the 3.
Correct.
Right. So, I mean, that's the thing that makes it so relative. That's why I say it's emotional, right? Because, you know, if you were at 18 and you got 8.5, you're going, woo,
right.
I just saved. Right.
So, you know, I go back to what I was just saying a few minutes ago about paying $60,000, $70,000 more for a right. house than what the list price was. And they had no problem with these bids. But now that the payment is $600 more a month, they're like, oh my God, that's pathetic. I'm like, okay, if you take $600 a month and you multiply it by 12, that's $7,200 a year. Okay.
Right.
That's still not 70 grand up front. And even if you have that high rate, that quote unquote high 6.5 rate for 3 years, you know, you're still only talking about $21,000, $22,000. You're still not paying the $70,000, $80,000 up front that you were.
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't the point?
Correct.
Here? That, okay, you were paying $70,000, $80,000 overpriced.
Everybody was.
Right? At 3%.
I did mortgages where people paid $100,000 over asking price.
Right, at 3%.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah.
And now we're at the 6.5.
Yeah. Pumping the brakes, baby.
Right, but that doesn't make it. The emotion doesn't make sense.
Correct.
Because
people don't do the math.
And, right.
And they should. They should. When they consult with us mortgage lenders, I mean, we have 5 lenders on your team, right?
Right.
When they consult with us mortgage lenders, we not only need to tell them what the payment on a property is right now based on 6.5, we need to help them look at the future as well. I will do payments where I'll tell somebody, by the way, if rates drop to 5, this is what your payment on this house is going to be. If they go to 4.5, this is what your payment on this house is going to be.
Right.
And you can't say that it's going to go to 10%. You need to actually look at what the context of rates are in the last, you know, 100 years, 50 years, 40 years, whatever context you want to use. You should assume we're still on the down escalator of rates right now.
Right.
Even though we've had the highest spike we've seen in 40 years.
But I think that's the thing that I think that people got to start wrapping their minds around is that, historically speaking, which was beautiful why you brought that chart out,
right,
by the way, was beautiful because when you saw what the interest rates were, and by the way, so in 1980, that we're talking 40 years ago.
Right.
Right, in the 80s. Right.
40 years ago.
Yeah, we were.
I wasn't alive.
That's just not kidding. Exactly true. Right. But there were a lot of people who weren't.
Right. And there were a lot of agents not in the business
and there were
5 years
right,
ago.
Right. Yeah. Right. And so they don't have the context mm-hmm. that you and I have.
Mm-mm.
And that's why I think it's so important to look at the historical data.
They need to know.
Right. That, yeah. Wait. Hold it here.
Right.
I mean, I don't see us going to 16%.
No. Our economy wouldn't survive.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just being honest. Our economy wouldn't survive.
So for a buyer right now.
Today's the day.
Today's a great day to buy.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There will be another feeding frenzy. By the way, what happened in the last 2 years and how people were doing the bid wars on properties, it was a feeding frenzy. If you've ever seen sharks go after a body in the water, this was piranha, you know, going after, you know, the body in the water, right? This is what was happening the last 2 years. Now, all of a sudden, the waters are clear. You can swim in those waters all day long. So what that means is, since there's no bid wars, you can go out and buy a house at list price, at $400,000. Oh, by the way, yeah, the interest rate in your view sucks. It does. Right, it's, right, oh, right. My God, 6.5. But when rates drop, you'll refinance. And by the time it gets down to 4, 5.5, whatever it gets to, or 5%, you're literally going to save a car payment in your monthly payment.
Right.
That is big. It is huge.
Right.
It is a way to say, I mean, put down 5%, you'll have mortgage insurance. In 2 years when rates drop and your house is appreciated in value, bam, save $600 a month.
Right.
You know?
So with the economic, we kind of have do we call it an economic slowdown? Is that what we call this?
My opinion, we're in a recession, but I mean, other people will say that we haven't hit it yet.
We talked about this before the show, right? We're in this kind of economic slowdown. We're getting a little bit more inventory. Well, actually quite a bit more inventory now in housing. And there's a lot of things going on economically in terms of an economic update. What are some of your recommendations that you recommend maybe, or get people to think about in terms of, their own economics personally, maybe?
Well, here's a fun fact.
Okay.
Right now at this moment, the credit card debt has reached the most we've ever seen in a nation. We're close to $870 billion in credit card debt in a nation. I mean, it's almost $1 trillion in credit card debt. Good news. You're sitting on a lot of equity if you own a house. So I know this is going to be painful for a lot of people to hear when I say this, but you might want to look at how much money you're spending every month. If you have 4 or 5 credit cards, they have 2 to 10 grand on them, whatever they are, you could honestly look and see how much money is going out the door. If you have any fears in this economic slowdown that somebody might lose their job, think about having one person's income paying all the bills. You may want to think about a cash out refi going into this economic slowdown. Now, I know those words scare the living daylights out of a lot of people, but we don't know the extent of any kind of economic slowdown / recession. We don't know the extent. And in saying that, you need to be prepared for whatever comes your way. If you don't feel like you are 100% economically solvent, if you feel like you are on solid ground, don't do anything to what you have. But if you feel like you're bleeding, you're hemorrhaging money every single month because you're spending money on credit cards and you got car payments and you got this, oh, and by the way, I'm not 100% sure they're going to keep me at work. You should think about a cash out refinance, consolidate all of your debt. Try to get it to as much as one person in your household can afford right now. And I know that a lot of people over the last couple of years, yes, I've done the loans. I did loans as low as 2.5%. I know it sounds like crap. I don't want to lose that rate. I would hate it. I would hate it for somebody to lose that rate. But moreover, I would hate it for somebody to lose their house if they have economic problems right now.
Sure.
If you need to get your monetary household in check, you may want to talk to one of the mortgage lenders on the team to say, yeah, I've acquired a lot of debt over the last few years. Oh, and I got a couple of cars, so I'm paying $1,700 more a month. If you wrap it into a mortgage, maybe you're only going to pay $600 or $700 or $800 more a month. Right. You got to figure out what you need to do is in your financial in your financial household. So
yeah, I think one of the things that we don't talk a lot about, but I did see that same statistic that we have more credit card debt than we've ever had.
Ever.
I mean, we're approaching $1 trillion.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, I've never seen it before.
Yeah, and it's unbelievable how much credit card debt there is, and debt keeps you from doing other things and
keeps you from living in a lot of cases. By the way, it's not just credit card debt, it's student loan debt, it's car payments, it's everything.
Right.
If you have a bank that you can talk to, like I bank at State Employees Credit Union, I'm not plugging anybody, but I will say the credit unions are better for equity lines than most banks. So I'll say that if you have the ability to get an equity line on your house to pay off some of these debts, you're doing two things. Number one, if you pay off all of this with your equity line, you create more tax deductibility for you. Why? Because it's a mortgage and the interest on it is tax deductible. Two, you're getting a lower interest rate on everything that you have. If you have credit cards, you're paying 16, 12, 19% interest on those cards. You're getting zero tax deductibility for it. Same thing with a car payment. You might have a 4 or 5% interest rate on your car. However, you're not getting any tax deductibility for it. And again, going into an economic slowdown or a recession or a depression, whatever words we want to use for what may come, you really need to get your quote unquote financial house in order to be prepared in case one of you in the house loses a job. It's a horrible thing to think about, but you have to think about your future. So.
All right. So we've talked about the negative.
Positives, let's negatives.
Well, we're coming up to Christmas and, you know,
Hanukkah.
Thank you. And one of the other things that we find that people are reluctant in the real estate market right now is that they're reluctant to purchase or maybe even sell during the holidays. Is this a good time to give yourself a Christmas present if you can afford it and buy a house?
Yes. It's a loaded question by a real estate firm. So I believe for anybody, it's always a good time to buy. I mean, if you look at the historical context right. of what a house has purchased for or sold for, and then what somebody's been able to do with the equity in that property, you know, Gone with the Wind, they said, the dad in Gone with the Wind, he was like, you know, land is what you live for, what you die for, you know, that kind right. of thing. And then what was it, Sopranos, where he said, buy real estate. Remember that?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah.
Yeah. You know, yeah. It's like buy real estate, you know, because it ain't going anywhere and God ain't making any more of it.
Right.
You know, so again, every time that we've always talked about the slow times or when is a good time, when is the bad time, it's always a good time to purchase. It's always a good time to purchase. It might not be the best time to sell, but it's always a good time to purchase, especially if you're living in an apartment or someplace. You buy now.
Well, it's such. Real estate has always been a pretty solid investment.
In this country, absolutely.
Right. And
it's created more wealth.
It's right. That was where I was going.
Yeah.
Real estate has created more wealth than any other investment that you can purchase over the long term.
In my opinion, it's probably the greatest equalizer that we have in this country is the ability for people to go into debt and create wealth from it.
Right. Right. Because, and you know, it's so interesting that people's reluctance right now over an interest rate to purchase real estate. But if you can get in the door now.
Right. Without spending X over what we're talking about before.
Right.
And nowadays you'll see sellers are going to pay closing costs now. Sellers right. are even paying money for repairs, where if you go 6, 8, 10 months ago, the sellers were getting...
Oh, you were buying it as is.
Well, and they were getting 25, 30, 40 grand in due diligence up front. Oh, you don't like my house? Well, have a nice day. You know, I'll keep your 20 grand and I'll just put it back on the market. Somebody will buy it.
Right.
Right. Now I hate to call it this, but it's a more normalized, it's a more equalized market.
Right.
But it's slower for all of us right now because of that fear. And I just... I don't know what it takes to allay the fears for people to understand that this is actually a really good time to buy because the feeding frenzy is over with, but it's more along the lines of we need to market to them better. We need right. to explain it better. We need to give them an idea. It's not just about an investment. It's also about your shelter.
Well, I think the one thing that you talked about with me prior to the show was that, you know, another reason to get into this market right now is that you don't have the competition.
Yeah. The feeding frenzy is over. That's exactly right. I
mean, you're not competing.
Nope.
And you have a greater selection than you've ever had.
Correct. Correct. The truth is you can ask the agents on the team, you know, whereas if a couple was interested in one house, they went to see that house. There's 40 cars outside.
Right.
And they're asking for highest and best. Right. Now the agent's taking a client to 3 or 4 houses and the listing agent's, please, for the love of God, buy my house. You know, I mean, they're willing to talk to you. They're not willing to fluff you off.
And we're seeing some seller concessions now too, right?
Yep. They're paying closing costs. They're also willing to pay for repairs. Builders are happy to see people again
right.
versus treating them like, oh, you're, you know, I say this in the most in the nicest way possible, but real estate agents, you can probably go visit builders again. They will treat you really nice right now. They will actually pay your commissions now versus what it looked like before for
right.
a while.
But I mean, yeah, well, that's another thing, right? Here's the other thing about buying new homes.
Yeah.
Right, is that they're making huge concessions to get them off the books right now.
They're doing anything. And I know some of our agents and some of our lenders have talked about buy downs and things of that nature. Sure, if a builder is going to pay 15, 16 grand for a buy down, take it. You know, right. take it all day long. But whenever people talk about buy downs in the aftermarket, you know, in right. the resale market, sellers aren't paying 15 grand for your buy down. They're not going to do that.
But it's I think that's the point, is that don't let the interest rate
scare you
from take you know going. What was it? Was Doug Schoonmaker, one of your colleagues, was in here. And I get corrected if this is right or wrong. So you tell me if this is right.
I hope you correct him, Doug. I hope you do it.
I don't know if this is the correct one or not. He said, you marry the mortgage and you date the rate.
Correct. Marry the house, date the rate.
Okay, that's so right. It's marry the house. House. Yeah. So that is the correct way to say it.
And it's all of us are saying it, but it's a matter of making the clients understand how that translates to them, what they will save down the road. We can say the phrases all we want, but you know, again, in the talks I've done to a bunch of real estate teams over the last few months, it's been, hey, client, number one, you're not spending 40, 50 grand up front more than you should. So you're saving that. Yeah, number two, yeah, you're going to pay a little bit more per month, maybe for 2 or 3 years, maybe not even that long. It just depends on how the market and the rates trend. And right now they are trending down again. But then number three is, once you do save all that money, or once you do refinance and you start saving that money, you've got the house that you wanted. That's the most important thing, is buying the property that suits your life. That should be more important than anything else anybody should look at.
And there is your Christmas present. We've been, you know what, you've been great. It goes so fast when you're
doing a 4-hour show today, right?
No, we just do 27 minutes, man.
Don't.
Time for commercial. Tell people how they get a hold of you. Thank you for being on. Tell people how they get a hold of
you. Thank you as always, brother. Yeah, good seeing you. Yeah. Happy Hanukkah. Yeah. I will say it. So Paul Fitz, Advantage Lending, 919-612-0043. That's 919-612-0043, or PFITTS at AdvantageLending.com. Please contact me. I'll be glad to help you any way that I can.
Yeah, he's a wealth of information. I'm just telling you, he's been in the industry so long. He's been in the industry a long time. How about that? Listen, you've been watching us here on Real Estate Right Now. We thank you for doing that. You had a lot of choices. You chose us. And you know what? As I say to you everywhere, thank you so much. And ciao, everybody. Living if you're dreaming small.